بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد my dear brothers and sisters الحمد لله we all hear this term empowerment. Now, one of the most important things to understand about empowerment is not somebody giving power to somebody else. It is helping and enabling people to understand the power that they themselves have. So we don't use the power we have. We feel what we call learned helplessness. We feel that I can't do anything, I can't achieve anything. So when somebody empowers another person, they are really helping them understand that you can achieve a lot and it's in your power. Nobody has to give it to you. If you ask me to describe in one word what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did when he brought or announced Islam in Makkah, that one word is empowerment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam help people to understand the power they have. Now, what was his power? That power was to understand one very simple thing, which is that every thing I say and everything I do does not only have one set of consequences in this life, but it actually has two sets of consequences. There are consequences in this life which are of a temporary nature, and there are consequences in the next life, in the year after, in the akhirah, which are of a permanent nature. So you're getting double benefit, right? The focus is on the benefit. Obviously, there is also the downside of it, which is that if I do something evil, there is punishment. Illa mashallah, if Allah forgives, unless Allah forgives. But the focus really is to say that if I do something good here, it's not only this much, it's actually a great deal more. So it encourages and empowers a person to do more and more good because he knows that what I'm doing here, even if nobody else sees it, even if nobody else knows it, even if nobody else does anything for me or gives me any benefit, doesn't matter because I'm going to get it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you think about that, this is the power of truly great ideas, which are simple, which are easy to understand, and which are very powerful. Truly great ideas are not things which require people to write books about and they require some professors to explain. These are not good ideas. These are all ideas which fall by the wayside because most people can't understand them. Truly great ideas are simple, easy to understand, easy to implement, and they have enormous consequences. They're very powerful. And that is what Islam was and is. This issue of empowerment. Now, what was that whole thing? The whole thing was to understand one, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made one simple but very powerful switch in the minds of people. And that switch was to move from looking at life where we say that success, happiness, benefit depends on me and my will. I must do whatever I feel like doing. I must be able to do whatever I feel like doing. What is good? What I like. What is not good? Something I don't like. The switch was to change this to what is good is what Allah likes. And what is not good is what Allah does not like. That's it. I mean, very simple idea. From making me and myself the center of the universe, we actually realize the truth, which is that I'm not the center of the universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is the center of the universe. So life cannot revolve around me. Life revolves around the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Now, this simple switch, what did it do? It completely changed the lives of people, because now when I have this in my head and I understand this, that good and bad doesn't depend on what I like and I don't like. Good and bad depends on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes and doesn't like. So therefore now, every action of mine, I am going to measure it against the standard to say, does Allah like this action or not? Very simple. So if I ask this question, I will get one of three answers. Either I am clear. For example, Salah. Does Allah like Salah? Yes, of course, so I pray. Second, whichever action it is, I check. I say, no, Allah does not like this. For example, ghibah. I want to bad talk somebody. Namima ghibah. Does Allah like that? No, Allah doesn't like that. So, I don't do it. I may have the thought. I may come to you and I say, you know, when I meet this brother of mine, I'm going to tell him. No. Allah doesn't like that. I don't do it. Third option is that there is some action about which I don't know. Does Allah like or does Allah not like? I am not sure. So, what do? I don't do it until I clarify. I go to somebody who knows and I check and I say, please tell me, this is what I want to do. Is it right or wrong? Then if the person says, no, there's no problem, you can do it, then I do it. If he says, no, this is bad, I don't do it. So if I know clearly what it is, that it is good, I do it. If I know clearly it is bad, I don't do it. And if I have a doubt, I will not do it until I clarify the doubt. Very simple. You don't need a PhD to understand this. It's very, very simple. Anybody can understand this. And that's the power of truly powerful ideas and philosophies. Very simple. Now, that completely changed the lives of the people in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You had Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He would go and he would pay for and free slaves who were weak. Women, old people, somebody like Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu, who had nobody, he was alone. He's not affiliated to any tribe and, you know, nothing. So his father, Abu Qafa, he asked him, he said, you are spending so much money freeing all these slaves. At least free somebody who is strong, free somebody who has got some affiliation somewhere and so on. So the person can help you, can serve you. What's the point in freeing these people? They are no good to you. So then Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, that is not the reason I'm freeing them. The reason I'm freeing them is not so that they can do something for me. The reason I'm freeing them is because this will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now see the same action. The action is of freeing slaves, alhamdulillah. It's a good action. And after all, Islam does not say free only weak people. You cannot free a strong person. No. You free a slave, you free a slave, khalas. But the beauty of understanding the truth of this thing is the understanding of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He says, which is the better of this? I'm freeing two slaves, but which is the better of the two deeds? Free somebody who is weak, who cannot do anything for me, so that before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I can say, Ya Rabbi, I did this only for you. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Mulk. Allah said, we've created death and life in order to test you which one of you will do the best of the deeds. It's not between a good deed and a bad deed. It's not between haram and halal. This is between two good deeds, but something is better than the other one, even though both are good. So this is where the believer seeks to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. So charity, for example, it is permissible to give charity publicly and announce it. Nothing wrong with that. As long as inshallah our niyat, we have to keep it clean. We're not doing it to show off. But in order to say, okay, you know, for example, in a fundraising, you say, okay, I am donating so much of money because hopefully it will, you know, encourage other people and so on. So it's not haram, it's not wrong. But the better option is to do charity secretly where only Allah knows. As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if the right hand is giving, the left hand should not know. So if I now have two options, which one do I choose? Right? So also in many other things. Between two good deeds. So this shows a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shows a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, it's not only that I want to please my Rabb, that is the boundary condition. I want to please my Rabb. I will not do anything to displease my Rabb. This is not even negotiable, right? This is a boundary condition. But now, in the ways of pleasing my Rabb, I am going to choose which is a superior way. And I will do more. Remember, if you are in the army or anywhere, you don't get a medal for doing your duty. You get a salary for doing your duty. You get a medal for what? Over and above duty. You didn't have to do it, but you did it. And by doing that, now you are demonstrating something more, and therefore you get an award and a medal. And that's what we are looking at. We are not looking at some just, you know, filling boxes. Okay, khalas. Fajr, Zuhur, Asar, Maghrib, Isha, I finish. Okay, done. No. We are saying, what is the quality of my salah? Did I connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What happened to me? So this is the justaju, as they say in Urdu. You know, this is the fikr. This is the thing that we are looking at to say, what can I do which is better in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalal. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to continuously live our lives in a way where we please Him more and more and more. And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us istiqamat and keep us in that state. And to inshallah, take us in a state where we are doing something which pleases Him the most, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika rahman rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.